Okay, tonight's show we're going to be discussing the idea of certain rules that Chazal gave to us to remind Churban Beis HaMikdash, to remind ourselves of Churban Beis HaMikdash way beyond the 3 weeks, beyond the 9 days, beyond Tisha B'Av, throughout the whole year, various times throughout the whole year. We have a specific rules for us to remind ourselves that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The first of the Maror Mekayimus is actually interesting. It's the Halach in Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Siman Aleph. In the first Siman of Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, Ro'oi l'chol yorei shemayim. It's befitting for any God-fearing Jew. She'ye meitzer v'doyig al chor b'meis HaMikdash. He should be worried, saddened, disturbed over the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. It's the Halach in Shulchan Aruch. That all of us who could like to consider ourselves yorei shemayim should walk around with the fact that we should be saddened and disturbed by the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And Mr. Buru brings down over here, he says, what does this mean that you should be meitzer? Aval ha-tayr v'ha-tfilah yeh b'simcha. This doesn't mean all day long we're supposed to mope around and be depressed. It just means that when we're not doing things of simchal. For example, when it comes to Torah and Tefillah, those things have to be done with complete joy. We're not allowed to be depressed and saddened during that time. But it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah that at other times throughout the day, we should try to focus on the idea that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. This is really where the whole idea of Tikkun Chatzos comes out, that people would spend time once a day thinking about the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Now, not to confuse this with the idea there's a separate mitzvah of Metzapel Yeshua, that even though we're discussing here today active things that we need to do to remind ourselves that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we also have a mitzvah to be Metzapel Yeshua. We also have to anticipate the Mashiach's arrival. One of the things the Gemara tells us that they're going to ask us, Acham Evesim, was, were we Mitzapel Yeshua? Did we await Mashiach? Seems like today only Lubavitch talks about Mashiach, and the rest of us don't focus on Mashiach. But that's not correct. We should all be focusing on Mashiach's arrival. In the davening, in Es Tzemach David, we have these words of Mitzapim Li Yeshua. It's in parentheses, because most hold, you're not really supposed to say it, you're supposed to be thinking it. We have a chiv at least once a day, three times a day when we daven, we're supposed to be anticipating Mashiach's arrival. Now, I don't want to confuse that with the idea of Zeichel Churban, the two separate mitzvahs. I just wanted to mention that along with the idea that we have to remember the Beis HaMikdash, we likewise have to have this desire and this want for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in his Sefer, Marked in his Siddur Yavitz, he writes something so powerful. He says it's pasha to him that the reason why Mashiach has not come yet, Rabbi Yaakov Emden talking, not me. He says the reason why Mashiach has not come yet, he says, and the reason why we suffer with all these pogroms and all these being kicked out of different countries and suffering is because we don't remember Churban Beis HaMikdash properly. We don't mourn it. We don't feel a loss. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us these little patches along the way, because we ultimately don't really feel the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he says if that would be the only thing we did wrong, he thinks that alone would be a reason for Mashiach not to come. So he's a very big proponent for us to really tap into this idea that we actively have to feel the Churban Beis HaMikdash throughout the year, not only I'd say Tisha B'Av, 9 days, whatever, it's something we should feel a whole year long, and he thinks that's something that's holding up Mashiach's arrival, and likewise, he thinks that's the reason why we have so much suffering in all the various countries that we go to, is we get very comfortable, and we start to say to ourselves, we don't need you, we don't need the Beis HaMikdash. We say, Berlin, here, Yerushalayim, right? Hirsch talks about that, Meshachachim and others, that this lack of drive and desire to want to have Mashiach come, and that's something that we shouldn't lose focus on. After Tisha B'Av, that we have to remember, we have this idea of Mitzapel Yeshua. The Mishnah Berurah brings down over here B'Shem the Shla. It's really a Zaya. The Shla writes number two. The Mishnah Berurah, he writes Shabachol Su the Yomer Al Naharas Bavel. The Shla writes every time you eat a meal before benching, you're supposed to recite Al Naharas Bavel. U'B'Shabbes, but on Shabbos V'Chem Yom She'enayim Emtachnun Yomer She'amals V'Shav Hashem. For some reason, this is not widely accepted. People sing it, say only during the 9 days. At best. But you don't find people say Al Naharas Bavel all year long. If you look at the way the Mishnah, this is the Magen Avraham quotes the Shlo, the Mishnah Berurah is just quoting the Magen Avraham. It was very clear from the Shlo, it had nothing to do with the 9 days. It was a whole year long. Every time after we ate a meal, we had a chiyuv to recite Al Naharas Bavel, and this would motivate us to feel bad over the Churban. Why add a Suda? As we'll see from the Gemara in Baba Basra, that is a direct correlation to Suda and Zeichel Churban. However, the minhag today is that I think people say Al Naharas Bavel only during the 9 days. I don't think people say it at every meal, but the Mishnah Berurah sounds like it should be. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds, "Voikar sheyodei ma'akama." The most important thing is you should know what you're saying. Va'achar kavanas halev hein hein advarim. Just to recite this capital and not understand what you're saying is very meaningless. A person should understand what he's saying. A person should sit down and read it. It happens to be a very moving piece, Al Naharas Bavel, a very emotional piece. Discussing Leviim, Eich Noshir, Shir Hashem, it happens to be a very, very moving piece. But just to say the words doesn't do you too much. So, In Shulchan Aruch and Mishneh Berurah Shloah, we see that there is something to feeling the Chorban Beis Hamikdash all year long, but it's not clear to what exactly are we supposed to do. However, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra. I apologize for the small size of the Gemara. It's about half an Amid. If I put a half an Amid on, we'd run out of space. So you have to bear with me, and I apologize for the squinting of the eyes, but it's a very, very important Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra says like this, Tana Rabbanan. Kishacharev habayis b'shniya. After Chorban Bayis Sheni, not Chorban Bayis Rishon, after Chorban Bayis Sheni, Rabu Perushim b'Yisrael, many Jews got very, we'll call it from today, they were Pirish, Lechel Basr, Shlodish Lishyayim. They decided after Chorban Bayis Sheni, they no longer want to eat meat and drink wine. They felt it's improper to eat meat and drink wine. So Netafel and Abishua, so Abishua got wind of this, and he didn't buy into this Chumra. He didn't like this. So he started to figure out, where is this Chumra coming from? So Amalami said to them, why are you guys not having meat and wine? Where is this new Chumra come from? So Amrullah, he said to him, Nechal Basr, we should eat meat. How can we eat meat? If the Beis HaMikdash is not getting its meat, how can we eat meat? Nishta Yain, how can we drink wine? Sheminaskon Agabi HaMizbeach, V'achshav Batal. So this Gemara is one of the reasons why we have a minog, or why there was a minog in Rishonim not to eat basav yayin starting from the 3 weeks during Shavuos b'Tammuz. Why is this Gemara? Because the Mizbeach wasn't getting its basav yayin starting from the 3 weeks. That's when they stopped bringing the karbanas. So how could we eat if the Beis HaMikdash is not eating? This was one of the makaris to why we had a minog in Rishonim, which we spoke about, not to eat basav yayin during the 3 weeks. So what do you say back to them? Okay, so you can't eat bread either. Because the Mizbeach also had bread. So if you're going to go with whatever the Mizbeach is not getting, so get, give up your bread. Shekvar bodlu menachis. I said, Afshe beperis. He says, you're right. That's it. No more bread. I'm going straight to fruit. He says, peiris leinach, you can't eat fruit. Shekvar bodlu bikurim. The Mizbeach is not getting its fruit. So he said, like, no, Afshe beperis acherim. Not all minim are for bikurim. So I can eat the other minim. Okay. Mayim leinishte. Fine, you can't drink water. Shekvar bodlu nisachamayim, because there's no nisachamayim. So Shasku, okay, that was the end. They got him quiet. That was a good time. If you're going to go with this relationship of whatever the Beis HaMikdash doesn't get, we don't get, so that's it. No water for everyone. So Omar Lahen Bini, Bov Omar Lachem. Shaloi, tell him like this. What do you want me to do? Shaloi Lis, Abel Kolikar, to do nothing, to just continue life as it was. E Efshe, I can't do it. Shekhanik Zer, I said, it's not right. But to do much, I also can't do. You also have to be practical. So they're very torn. What are we supposed to do? Just to do nothing is not correct. Just to forget about Chorban and move on is not the right ideology. But to do what we think is right is also not practical. You need to eat. So what are we supposed to do? Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. This was the rule that they decided. Sod Adam is basically besid. A person can use lime on his house. But when he builds his house, he has to leave over a small portion. The kama, how much does he have to leave over? He has to leave over an amma by an amma, which is about 2 feet, give or take, an amma worth of space he has to leave on the wall. Okay, that was one thing they were misakin. That was takana number one. Amr of Chizda, Keneged HaPesach. Where do you do it? Keneged HaPesach, opposite the door. Okay, that was the thing what they did. What was the next thing they did? Oh, he said, the person can prepare anything he wants at the meal, but he has to leave off something at the meal. What is that? He has to leave off this fish dish that was cooked in its own oil that you don't serve at a meal. Oh, he said, a lady can use all tachshitim that she wants, but she has to leave over something. Mahi, what is that? It's bas tzado. There's two pshatim in the Rishonim what this means. Either it means about shaving the area over here or waxing the area over here, or it had to do with the women used to style their hair a certain way. The Shulchan Aruch paskens neither of those. It means it's referring to jewelry, which is the halacha that we'll see in Shulchan Aruch, that a lady, instead of putting on 5 pieces of jewelry, she should only put on 4 pieces of jewelry. We'll see how practical that is in a few minutes, but that's the way the Shulchan Aruch learns the Gemara. So that's the third thing. This is the last dinner. He's supposed to put ashes on the head of a chas. Where exactly do you put the ashes? You put it in the place of his tefillin. Like it says in the pasuk, losam la litzion, losis lam pe'er tachas eifer. Then the Gemara concludes the famous line. So the Gemara lays out very clear what we need to do post Chorban Bayis Sheni in order to properly mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash throughout our daily life. So there's a Gevaldik piece in the back of the Gemara from the Einei Shmuel. He says he doesn't understand this whole Gemara. Rabbi Shua came to them and said, I don't understand you guys. Why are you not eating basar v'yayin? So they came up with this lot, this tikkun Torah, because the Mizbeach is not getting it. And then they got themselves into trouble. He said, why don't they just give a simple answer? Because ain't simcha la basar v'yayin. So we're doing things that cut back on simcha. So that's already being purged from basar v'yayin. There'd be no kasha, so to stop eating bread and stop eating fruit and stop, that wouldn't be a kasha, because those things don't bring simcha. So what was the, why did they get themselves involved with this creative lumdus that, well, if the Mizbeach is not getting a weekend meal, just say Pashit. Because after the Mizbeach, you have to cut back on Simcha and Basav Yain. It's the greatest source of Simcha. Why don't they just answer that? So he times like this, because if they would have answered that, the follow-up question would have been, okay, fine. So no Talmud Torah. The Gemara says in Tainus, the reason why you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av is because Yeshem Yisharim Sam Chilev, Torah brings you Ano. So they have to stop learning Torah. I v'chitem, you'll tell me stop learning Torah, you'll be mevatel on mitzvah day rights of Talmud Torah. It's not true. You can learn Dvar Hamutarim. You'll spend all day long learning by cutting the third perek and the Daf Samach and Gittin. No, plenty to be busy with. So he knew that that would be the follow-up question. So to avoid that follow-up question, he came up with this reason that has to do with Bittul HaKarbonis and Bittul Mizbeach instead of having to do with the reason of Simcha. Now, I didn't photocopy, but the Gemara continues and says they had another movement. They wanted to stop making chasanus. No one get married, no one have children. So the Gemara says. They said that that doesn't make any sense. We're gonna what? We're gonna be mevatel mitzvah as a kasha. We're gonna be mevatel mitzvah seder raisa peruvu. So Taisa says no. It was people who already had kids won't have any more kids. So the Goin says this idea of not having kids is the reason why there's no chasanas during the 3 weeks. Same idea that there was a movement to try to stop having chasanas at all, so that we don't accept because that's too much. But at least during the 3 weeks, that's why we don't have chasanas. That's the way the Goin says based on that Gemara at the end of the parak over there in Baba Basra. Akoponim, we have this Gemara that clearly gives us rules of what we're not allowed to do. Now, I just want to point out, the one thing that everyone is familiar with about breaking a glass at a chasana is not in this Gemara. It's not here. Okay? I'm not sure if that's a kasha or not. I'm just pointing that out to be honest and fair. This idea that everyone knows that under a chasana, we break a glass and we sing a meshkachech and we do all the whatever, that's not brought down in the Gemara. If it's anywhere in Shas, it should be over here. So that might lead us to believe that breaking of the glass is not for the reasons of Zeichel Lechor. It's in Brachas. But that Gemara, as we'll see later tonight, hopefully, is Yesh Lodin. If it's talking about Zeichel Lechor, it's talking about something else. Okay, so let's just see a little bit of the halachas of some of these things that were mentioned in the Gemara. So the Shulchan Aruch writes over in number 4, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Tiknu Chacham Shehoyu Bois HaZad, Chacham decided to live in that generation, She'in Boinim Lo'olam Binyan Mesuyid Umuchuy Kibinyam Malachim. A person is not allowed to build any buildings that are done like a building of Malachim. Elo Toch Beis HaBetit, he can only use Tit V'sod Beis Besid, and then on top of that, Umishayir Mokam Abba Al-Alma Kenegra Pesach B'lisid. Not only is there a restriction of what material or how you build your house, even after you use the more weaker or less chashiv material, even then, you still have to be Mishayir Amal Alam. This is the opinion of the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch goes with the Rambam. The Rambam learned the Gemara differently than this Gemara that we read. There's another Gemara which I didn't photocopy. The Gemara is a whole discussion of what materials can you use to build your house. It's a machlokes in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, that you can't use very sturdy, chashiva type of finishings for your house because of the similar idea of Zeich L'Chor. Now, the Gemara that we read doesn't sound like that. The Gemara that we read sounds like you can build whatever you want as long as you're Mishayir Amal Alam. Now, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass like that. The Shulchan Aruch says, no. First of all, you always have to be Mishayir Amal Alam. And on top of that, even when you start to build the house, you have to build it not as sturdy as Binyan Malach. The Mishnah Berurah says, we don't go with the Shulchan Aruch, we're maker like the Torah. If you look at number 5, the Mishnah Berurah says, what's this Mesuyad Mechuyar? Hey, mine tzir. Ve'ef shaloi mishaderecha oilam shetochim betit. Ve'achkach sadin besid. The way they used to build the homes, at first they did tit, then they would put on top of it some form of a sid. Ve'amalachim oisen hakol besid. But the Malachim, they did a fancier, they did everything with sid. Okay, you gotta discuss this with your local contractor. Or the fiza afilu b'sid levadi also. So if you just use sid, it's also because that's the way Malachim used to do it. Or midikar mash ein boyin lo oil mash b'dafilai day yudei shir amal am also b'zeh. It sounds like even if I would use sid and be mishayir, it would not be sufficient. V'hinam mechaber hitikol shiram. That's because mechaber goes like the Rambam. Aval da'asa tor da'afilu sadim b'sid u'mitzayir nami. Even if you want to use straight up sid, the strongest, the most fanciest type of finishing or type of plaster, that's okay as long as you're mishayir lam. Lam is like mishmeru v'chein ha'minam. That's what we all do. So we don't care what you build your house with, as long as at the end of the building you're going to have left an amal amo, give or take 2 feet, that you're going to leave empty as a zeichel l'chor. Now the Mishnah Berurah over here has a whole discussion. That he wants to know, why is no one makpin on this halacha? You go into people's homes, and you speak to people who go into people's homes, and you look around, that's what I do now. Every time I go to someone's house, I'm looking up and down for the Zeichel Churban. They think I'm looking for the safe or something. I just want to know, where's your Zeichel Churban? Where's your Mishael Am Alam? Now, the truth is, without getting into all the halachas, you might not always need to be Mishael Am Alam. For example, if you bought your house from a guy, and assuming you never did any work in your house, you don't have to be Mishael Am Alam because you bought it from a guy. So if you buy your house from a guy and you don't touch the walls, you don't paint, and you don't take down the walls, and you don't wallpaper, you don't have to be Mishael Am Alam. But if you bought your house from a Jew, or if you built your house from scratch, and you did any work in the house, so then you have to leave over an Am Alam to be Mekayim, this Gemara, this Halacha, and Shulchan Aruch. Now, already in the times of the Mishnah Berurah, and really in the times of the Chayyadim, for some reason this was just not widely accepted. People weren't doing it. And the Mishnah Berurah was trying to figure out, well, why not? Why? What happened? This is a Mefarshei Gemara. So before we get to the Mishnah, if you just look down at number 6b, the Oz Nidbru, big now from the Archas Chaim from Spinker. Right? The Archas Chaim was a Rishon, but the Archas Chaim from Spinker was a Spink. It's much later. And he tied as a fascinating reason why no one did this. He says, Mevi tam acher she'ei nizarim achsha b'zeh, kim she'bekama mekoymes ha'umois makpidim she'habotim yofim. He tied as there was a tkufa in history, again, we're not going back so far, let's say 200, 300 years ago, probably even less, where the goyim were makpid on how we designed our interior of our homes. And if the government would walk in and see that we have an amma with unplastered, they'd give us trouble. So that's why Klal Yisrael wasn't nachben on this din. They had no choice. The goyim would give them trouble. So the Oz Nidbru, who was more of a contemporary, he lived in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. He says, this is a doichik. He says, specifically today, there's no such rule. I don't think there's any, community board that cares what you do with it. Yes, you can't build too high and you can't build too sideways and you have to cut your lawn. But how you paint your walls, I really don't think there's any community government that cares how you do that. So to say that's the reason why we don't have Mishai or Alma today is because we're afraid that the government's going to come in one day and look at our walls and have tinas and how we painted the walls is a very, very weak heter for such a reason. So what is the reason that so many people today are Mekel and are not Mishai or Alma Lama? So again, heter number one is if you buy it from a guy. If you take a buy it from a guy, then you don't have to be, again, if you buy it from a guy and 2 years into the house, you start redoing the walls, which the Aruch HaShulchan says includes wallpaper, you take down the wallpaper, and you put up new wallpaper right then. You have to leave over a space of Amma Alamba. Or if you decide to repaint the walls or any of those types of things, you would then have to be Mishair Amma Alamba. Now the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, back in number 5, Mishnah Berurah says in Beis, he says, Ha'inu she'oisa Amma yibaloi sid, that Amma that you leave off should not have the same finishing, it shouldn't have the same plaster, it should be pretty much empty. You know, it doesn't mean you don't have to have a hole in your wall where the rain comes through. It means you leave it unfinished. V'hecha shema'arev chol besid, if you mixed sand into the sid, nami shavi adei shir amal amma, then it's also okay if you're mishaya. V'yesh mekilim adei chol, those who say that if you mixed sand into the materials that you're using to put up on the wall, then the sviru of the hecha the erev chol shuvlei miki b'shem sid. It's no longer called sid. It's megareya from the chashivas of it, and therefore you don't even have to be mishayir am alam. So that's the argument. If our cement today is all mixed with chol, so then we can be semich on this Mishnah Berurah. Now I'm not so sure the metzias. I don't know. You got to check with your local contractor exactly what they're putting up on the wall, a plaster, a sheetrock, all these different things. What are they made of? So if they're mu'ur of b'chol, according to this Mishnah Berurah, then you don't have to be mishayir am. Now, he says, this is Mishnah Berurah talking. In his days, late 1800s, people were not doing this, which is very shver. It's Mefarsha Gemara, Mefarsha Halacha, and Shulchan Aruch. So he writes, because they were saying, Mechan Yesh Mekilim, that they mixed the sand into the mixture. It's not true. The home just had sid. If it just had sid and it wasn't mixed, it doesn't work. So he's not really sure what everyone's saying behind the Mishnah Berurah. Then he has a whole discussion at the end. Maybe it's different. Okay, I'll call upon him. The Mishnah Berurah is already troubled. Why is no one makpid on this? So the Aruch HaShulchan and others try to come to defend. Why weren't people makpid at that time not to do it? Now, if you look at the next piece of Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah writes something that many people see. He says that what happens if you don't want to leave off an amma without having it fully done? So instead what you'll do is you'll paint that amma, you'll paint it black. Is that sufficient to be Mekayim Nizdin? So he writes over in number 6, he says, V'oysa hashir yibaloi sid. That amma, that leftover should have without any finishing to it. Udaloi ka'oysan oysan amma shochan, not like those who make it, an amma, they'll have a box that's just black. The rest of the wall is white, and they'll have a black box, and they'll call it their black box, Zeichluchem. So like Mr. Brew, that's not good. Zeu gamkin seer. That's also a picture. What do you mean? Why, that's also a finishing. That's also a painting. So you paint the black instead of white. It looks strange. But that doesn't work.
How about people who Okay, I'll get to that. The Yesh Mikayim is Zakhtim Mishdabirusha, Oisim Shachar, they make it black, the Kaisim Al Zechel Chubin, and then they cry out Abed Zechel Chubin. Oisim told him, Big Derekama. He doesn't love it. Now, if you look in Sharat Sin, he writes, number ches, number 7, after Chai Adam Mach Megambazah, the Chai doesn't buy into any of this black painting, none of this. Mikom Mokam Nir De Elimachas Biar HaMekilim. You can't stop those who, instead of being Mishayar Al Malamo, they'll just paint it black. Achri Shel Yerabe, He B'Shem Aguda, the Yerabe quotes from the Aguda, from the Rishonim, Smach LeMekilim, Shoyzin Shachar HaMokam Hu, that just make it black. So if you don't want to paint, if you don't want to do Alma Alama, now I'm not sure why this is necessarily any better. It looks not as nice. So then instead of leaving off, like here, where one side is painted and the other is undone, they'll paint the whole wall. And just one spot, they'll paint it black. Now, what about those people who do nothing? They just hang up a sign in Meshkechech Yerushalayim. So the Munkach Rebbe writes to the Tshuva, he says, it's a pella. That's exactly what they didn't want you doing. You're making the wall look even nicer with a nicer picture. You defeat the whole purpose. So he doesn't think that's a viable option. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan and Ramayish and the Tshuva seems to be somewhat makel that if what you want to do is just paint it black, you could be samech on that and just paint it black. But to do nothing, it seems like that's not the correct thing not to do anything. There's a whole discussion if in Yerushalayim you need to do it. Let's say you own a house in Yerushalayim. You need to be Mishayir Amalam in Yerushalayim. So some say, Yerushalayim, what do you mean? You don't need a remembrance. You walk outside, you feel it, you see it, you go to the Kaid, yeah, you don't need it. Then those who say, Faket, you do need it in Yerushalayim. There's a whole discussion whether or not Yerushalayim is different than the Chutzla. It's being raised in Lakan or Lakan, whether or not it's different. But Al Koponim, the Or Letzion, Rav Abba Shaul makes up Shar over here. He says, if it's a Shail of Shalom Bayis, your wife doesn't want you being Mishayir Amalam, so he says you could be Mekel and just paint it black. Personally, I don't think it's nicer to paint it black. But why black? Because the Gemara says in Baba Kama that black is a sign of Avelos. The Gemara tells us about this fellow who used to walk around in black shoes. The black is a sign of Avelos. So I'll call upon him. If a person doesn't want to do a good old-fashioned Mishayir Alam Alam and leave it mamish blank, he can paint it black, or it sounds like from Rav Abba Shaul, maybe even blank, paint it a different color. And that could suffice to being his Amal Al Amal. Now, if you look at number 6C, what about a shul and a beis medrash? Does a shul have a Shair Lama? You ever walk into your local shul, where you'll find anywhere in the shul that they're in a Shair Amal Lama. So at least in the shul, you think they know there's a rabbi there. He would do it right. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Bar Halacha writes, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, Shoiri, B'chol Inyan, Hainu Af B'Sidluchud, U'Beloi Shair Amal Lama. Shuls, Batei Knesses, Batei Midrashes, there's no din that you have to be Mishair Amal Lama. So you're going to a shul, you're going to a yeshiva, you won't find it. Shail is, why not? What's the pshat because they're a shul? So Minchas Alazar writes in the Tshuva, he thinks the pshat is because they're miyuchat for mitzvah. Because it's a place where you do mitzvahs, and for some reason it doesn't need this reminder. So the shayla is, Lefiza, what about a wedding hall? They have to be Mishayir Alama Alama in a wedding hall. If the pshat is that weddings, it's a big mitzvah. All night long they're making mitzvahs. They're making a lot of money as well, but okay, they're doing mitzvahs. So according to the Minchas Alazar, you wouldn't have to put up one in a wedding hall. Others disagree. They say it's not so much the pshat that it's a wedding. It's not the pshat because it's a mitzvah. It's because of Kedusha's basic nessus and other things. And therefore a wedding hall wouldn't. That's a shayla alocha l'maisa, whether or not the wedding hall's deep. I remember I looked around. I couldn't find it in some of the wedding halls, but could be I was looking in the wrong place. It's probably not going to be in one of the nicer rooms. It's probably going to be in a side room. We paskin, most people paskin, you don't have to make an amal am in every room. You make it in one room. The Chazanish was machbet to do it in every single room, but most people hold it's only in one room. You're supposed to put it in an area where you'll see it. You shouldn't do it in the bathroom, in the corner where no one sees. It should be a nice, again, I'm not saying you have to do it in the living room right next to the family picture. You don't have to maybe do it over there, but you should do it in a place where people will see it when they walk through. Kenegra Pesach, when people walk through, it shouldn't be hidden. It shouldn't be covered up later with a sheet. It shouldn't be hidden with a picture.
It doesn't have to be front of
it. No, it doesn't have to be. Kenegra Pesach, the place can hold it. It should be where people can see it. Mr. Brewer sounds like it's Kadesh Yir Miyad. It should be the first thing you see. A lot of people have it on their way up the steps, depending on your layout of your house. Right when you come into the house, they'll have it on the side or on a cross. When you walk into the house, it's the first thing you see when you come into the house. Okay, you'll go into people's homes now. You'll look around for it to see if it's there, if it's not there. We always have to wrap up with some form of a skula. So the Kaf HaChaim writes a skula. For those people that are Mishayir Amal Amal in their homes, it's a skula that the house will not fall down and all the people in the house will be matzliach and they'll have success. So it's a good skula, says the Kaf HaChaim, to be Mishayir Amal Amal. It's a skula for the house and the people who live in the house. Okay. Now, the next halacha that the Gemara told us about was this idea of leaving off things at a table. The Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch number 11. If a person makes a suda even for Archim, the chiddush of Archim means it's a mitzvah. It's not for yourself, you're doing it for Archim, it's a mitzvah. You're supposed to leave something off. And leave that place empty. Leave an empty place on the table where you would have put another dish, leave that empty. That will be the Zechel Chorban corner of the table. So the Kaf HaChaim says, why don't people do this today?
He says very simple, because it used to be back then there was a standard amount of courses at the meals. They had a certain amount of dishes, so if you took one away, then it showed something. But today, everyone does what they want. Some homes have six courses, some homes have half a course. So what does it mean to hold one back? What's it going to show to anyone? No one's going to know the difference. It's not going to be megala anything. And therefore, there are those who don't do it. There are those people who actually leave an empty space on the table. They'll set a table with a setting, and they'll just leave it empty. That's what some people do. Okay. And when a lady puts on her jewelry, hakesev hazav. Now the Shulchan Aruch learns that this gemara meant jewelry. She should leave off one piece of jewelry. She shouldn't be wearing all her jewelry at one time. So if she owns 12 pieces of jewelry, put on 11 at a time. Now we have to mention this Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah writes over here, number 12. Hainu im yesh lahabe mini tachshitim lo yisosim kulum alav vazachas. Don't put them all on one shot. Rak b'chol pam tishayir achas zeh chor. But every time a lady gets dressed and she knows she has a whole box of jewelry, say to yourself, I'm going to leave off one piece of jewelry and not put it on. Talk to Mishnah Berurah. B'noshim hamiskash tais b'miloi. Women who get overly dressed in their jewelry, garmim levad zeh rois rabois ma'uma sa'oilam. They are causing bad for the goyim around us. Hamiskani'im bohem, who are going to get jealous of them. So if your wife wants to know why you don't buy her more jewelry, so you could tell her because the Mishnah Berurah says it's not a good idea to give too much jewelry to your wife because the goyim are going to get jealous of us. Okay? So that's the Mishnah Berurah sniff l'hakel. My husband don't buy jewelry. But al-Kaponim, this halacha is also widely not practiced. Maybe because no one told the women about it. But al-Kaponim, this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And the last halacha, Zalak Temechaba, Ukishachos, and Noise Isha, Lokach, Efer, Maklav, and Nasa Bereisha, Bamakamarachasvon. And that's exactly what we saw in the Gemara. Now, if you look over here in number 13, the Ber Halacha writes, quoting the Chayodom, Vitzarech Ian, Shekol Ze'enogim Klal. In the times of the Chayodom already, no one kept all these things. What do I mean by all these things? People were not leaving over room on the table, and people were not leaving over the jewelry, and people were not even doing Efer Makla. They weren't even putting the ashes at the Chasana. Already in the times of the Chayodim, and the Chayodim didn't know why. What happened to all these halachas? Why were they forgotten? So the Shulchan Aruch has a Ramo over here. The Ramo writes, "V'yesh mikaymis shenogu l'shaver kois b'shas chuppah." A new minhag to break a glass at the time of a chuppah. I lost a mappa shechura, or put a black cloth, or shar dover avelos b'reish hachasim, or put something on the head of the chasim. So here the Ramo is introducing us to a new concept, not found in the Gemara, that you're supposed to have something else at the chasana. Break a glass at the chuppah, because that's supposed to do something, zecher lechorban, it sounds like. So, what is clear in Shulchan Aruch is, and this is the last thing I want to talk about tonight, is that you're supposed to put Efer Makla B'Reisha Chasin at the time of the Chasin. Another great piece of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, number 14. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, Noisin Efer Makla V'Noisin B'Reisha B'Makam Anachas Tfilin. Gam B'Zu Einan Hizharin. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Siddur, this also people don't keep carefully. This is Rabbi Yaakov Emden's chiddush of the day. Mi yoideya, who knows? Shema kamalo etzlivach zivugim. Maybe the reason why so many couples were not successful was ba'avoin zeh, was because of this aveira she'enam samim alev avelos Yerushalayim. I hate to disagree with Rabbi Yaakov Emden, but I think at least today, I'd venture to believe the reason why we have problems with Shalom Bayis is not because of that, it's for other reasons, but that's what Yaakov Emden felt, that if we would be more careful with Hanachas Efer on the Tfilin, the Makam Tfilin at the Chasid, he thinks the Shalom Bayis rates would be higher. Okay? That's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. What's interesting, if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer, in number 15, you find the exact same halach in Shulchan Aruch. Tzarech loses Efer, Bereisha Chasid, and Makam Anachas Tfilin, Zeicha La'aveilus Yerushalayim, Tichsiv Lossum, Le'evlitziyam, Pe'er Tachas Efer. Which is interesting, which means there's two Mefurisha halach in Shulchan Aruch that already in the time of Rabbi Yaakov Emden and the Chayodim, 1700s, 1600s, people weren't doing, which is very strange. These are all based out of the Gemara. Why exactly were people not keeping it is not clear. But then the Rama adds another knech. The yesh mikaymois shenogu lishbar kois acha sheva brachas. A new minug to break a cup after sheva brachas. V'zehu haminug noig b'bedinus elu. That's what we do in our communities, meaning not b'shas chuppah, but after sheva brachas. He doesn't mean after the chasun sheva brachas. It means after the sheva brachas tachas chuppah. But Shahachosin Shaivir Hakli. The Chosin breaks the Kli. Shem Mevorchin Allah Birchas Erisin that he used for making Birchas Erisin. So this Ramah adds a little bit more than the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Arachai. This Ramah tells us A, who breaks the cup. B, he tells us when you break the cup. Now, and which cup to break. He tells us the cup that you're supposed to use is the cup that you made Birchas Erisin on. Now, it's interesting, if you look in the Sefer number 16, the Eitzar HaPoiskim, points out that most of the Rishonim held that you do like this Ramah, that when do you break the cup? You break the cup at the end of the Sheva Brachas, meaning like we do. After we finish all the Sheva Brachas, then we break the cup. But he quotes in the bottom from the Stechemed. The Stechemed had a different minhag. The Stechemed said that the minhag used to be to break the cup between Birchas Erisin and Birchas Nesuin. Koidem Kriyas HaKsuba. What they used to do was, before they read the Ksuba, after Erisin, that's when they'd break the cup, and then they'd read the Ksuba. He calls it minhag Eitzel B'nei Kihilos Ashkenaz. There are even some Ashkenazic communities that did that, even though the Ramah here seems to hold not like that. That's a shtickle like the first Ramah. The Ramah writes, Noyeg Lishber Kois B'shas Chuppah. B'shas Chuppah means while it's still going on. After the Chuppah is over, it's not taking place anymore. So the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, sounds a little bit like this minhag, that they used to break the cup between the first, between Birchas Eris and the Birchas Nesu. The question is, what's the reason for breaking this cup? Why do we, whenever we break it, why do we do it? Now the Gemara never said to do it. So what is the reason? So the Gra writes very brief Kedaka Kedish. So the Gra in both places in Shulchan Aruch, he's mitzayin this Ramah. He says, what's the reason for this Ramah? I in Rosh Perik Hei Debrachas. The Gra tells you, look at the beginning of the fifth Perik of Brachas. What does the Gra want from the beginning of the fifth Perik of Brachas? So the Gemara in the fifth Perik of Brachas, beginning of the fifth Perik, writes like this. Ma'brei Devina Ovid Heilulu Lebrei. Gemara tells us a story. That Ma'brei Devina made a chasana for a son. Chazinu La'abona Dav Kabat Chituva. He saw that the Rabbanim were getting out of control. The chasana was too wild, too wild. Too much. So what happened? Isi Kisa de Mukra, he brought a cup that was valued at Bas Arba Mea Zuzi, as worth 400 Zuz. The Tavar came out and he broke the glass in front of everyone. The Tzivu and everyone got serious. This is the Gemara in Brachas. Zog Taisvis, number 19 on the left. Mikan Nogu the Shabbos Chuches Benesuin. This is the minog to break a glass at a wedding. Okay, great. So we see that the Gemara tells us that you're supposed to break a glass at a wedding because of the chasana that took place by Mabre de Ravina. That Gemara over there, in Brachas, is talking about a din called Gila Bera'ada. What's Gila Bera'ada? The Gemara tells us in Brachas that at times of extreme levels of joy, you have to cut back. Not necessarily because of Zeichel Chorman, but because when a person gets too excited and too much fun, he ends up doing something wrong. Which is, as we spoke about, why there's Bahab. One of the reasons the Rishonim for Bahab is because over Yom Tov you have a lot of simcha and a lot of enjoyment, and tendencies are, when we're too besimcha, we get into too much trouble. So same thing here also, when there's too much fun, too much wildkite, too much wildness at a chasana, you gotta cut it back. Which means, lefizeh, if you assume like the goin, so the pshat of the shviras ha-kais has nothing to do with zeichel ha-churban. We don't break a kais to remind of zeichel ha-churban. We break a kais for a totally different reason. Because chasana is a very wild time, and people get very happy, and they're excited, and they're drinking, whatever else is going on. So in order to cut all that back, to put us in the proper, not because zeichel ha-churban, stamazeh, because too much wildness leads to aveir. Which means if you learn like this goin, lefizeh, the pshat and shviras ha-kais takas ha-churban, is taka not zeichel ha-churban. And that's why it's not in the Gemara in Baba Basra, because it's not Zeichel Chorban. So ask me, what's the difference? So there's a couple of differences. One nafkamina is, will we have this when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt? After the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, we're still going to make chasanas. So what's going to look up? Are we going to break the glass at the chasana or not? So if you learned the Gemara without the going, that the Pshar and the Shviras HaKais Tachas HaChobah was an extension of Zeichel Chorban, so you say, of course not. The rest of Zeichel Chorban, we're not going to do this also. But if now that we have this Gra, where the Gra is learning that the Pshar of Shviras HaKais is because Gila Bera'ada, so the chayu should be done even after there's no more zeichel chum, we're still going to have to do it. Very good. That's Aruch HaShulchan's point. We'll get to that in a second. Secondly, the chayu, the another nafkamina is who needs to break the glass. If the pshat had to do it, that it's a zeichel chorban. So the same way the Efer Makla goes on the chassan's head, because he's the Baal Simcha, so then if the glass is to remind the Baal Simcha, so then the chassan should be the one to break the glass. But if the pshat is it has to do with Gila Bera'ada, just to calm the whole crowd, so let the caterer do it. Let anyone do it. Harai, the Gemara in Brachas, who broke the glass? It wasn't the chazan who broke the glass. They brought a cup and they broke it. So this is chayr and lum, this should be some of the nafkaminas to how do we understand why we shaver kais. Now, it's, I think in Mavur like this, if you look at number 20, the Gemara goes on over there to continue and tells us another din. Also, la'odim shimal eschoik piv boil mazeh. A person is not allowed to fill his mouth with schoik, with enjoyment. Shinemakan says in the pasuk, oz yimal eschoik pinul shenin irina. Emasai, when are you allowed to do that? Bizman shayom rubagoyim higdal hashem lasa semeil. So a person is not allowed to be mal eschoik piv boil mazeh. Whatever that means on a practical level, we'll leave off. So the Tamid Rabbeinu Yoino of number 20 has a shayla. What's pshar in this Gemara? Is pshar in this Gemara because zeichel churban? Or pshat in this Gemara is because again the same Gila Bera'ada. Zok to Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina means when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So it's the same thing, L'chayra, it's the same thing as what we're saying now also. Is the pshat in shviras, and this is all the same gemara, is shviras hakayis tachas hachuppah because of zechel korban? Or is it because of Gila Barad and Afkamina? What happens when Mashiach comes? Now, what's so interesting is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tov Kuf Samach, which is the Simen in Shulchan Aruch that talks about Zecher Avelos of the Churban, that's what the Mechaber brings down the din of Asal Adam Shemal Piv Schoik Boil Mazeh, which is very strange. Because according to one side in Rishayim, it has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It has to do with Gila Barad. What's even more strange is if you look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, why? Number 25, Shasimcha Yisera Mishkachas HaMitzvah. Because too much Simcha forgets mitzvahs. That has nothing to do with Zecher Churban. That's like the other Rishonim because of Gila Barada. Tzarechin, why does the Mechaber bring it down over here in Elchus Chorben Beis HaMikdash? I think the Pashta Teretz is because where else are you going to put it? You know, this is a similar Shulchan Aruch that discusses etiquette and behavior. So in Echanami, they're not for the same reasons. One has to do with Zechel Chorben, one has to do with Gila Barada, so the Mechaber put it here as well. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan writes a Chiddush LaHalacha. The Aruch HaShulchan says that today, you don't have to do both the Efer Makla and the Shvir Sakais, because one can take place of the other. Dr. Chashokha number 26. The Eitzlan Muhammadik B'makam Efer Makla Lishpar Hakais. We break the cup instead of Efer Makla. But I don't understand. If you learn that the purpose of Shvir Sakais had nothing to do with Zeichel Churban, it had to do with Gila Barada, how does that replace the Efer Makla? If you go like the going, the way we learned, according to him, it's a different din of Gila Barada, Tzarechin, this Aruch HaShulcha. So you're going to have to say Aruch HaShulchan held not like that. Aruch HaShulchan also held it was an extension of Zechel Chorban, and therefore he held one can replace the other. If you look at just very quickly, we're running out of time. If you look in the Eitzer HaPoiskim, my photocopy number 27, he brings down various minhagim that they used to do. They used to have a minhag that instead of stepping on it, the chasm would throw it against the wall. I think that would be more fun, personally. But the Eitzer HaPoiskim brings down there was a minhag in the times that we shine, quotes to Maril, that the chasm used to take the glass and throw it against the wall. Why does he have to use his foot and hurt himself? All these stories you hear, chassanim hurting themselves and getting injured. Why? Throw it against the wall. There's no problem. But part of the discussion of it is, he times that this shulchari should be enough community. Who has to break the glass? The lashon of the Ramah is like the chassan has to break the glass. But again, why? It would make sense that the chassan should have to break the glass if it's because of zeichel churban. Because he's the one experiencing the simcha, he's the one who needs to cut back. But if it's al gila bira'adah, like the grah, so why should it be the chassan? Let it be anyone. So at the end of the piece, he comes out that he thinks it's lav dafka, anyone can break the glass. Lav dafka has to be the chassan, anyone can break the glass. The minhag today is that the chassan is always the one to break the glass. So yesh lod and how that fits into the lumbus that we're describing over here. Another minhag that we do today at chassan is that not only do we break a glass under the chuppah, we also break a plate at the tanoi. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in number 28 that the same reason why we break a glass by the chuppah is why we break something by the tanoi. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds, "V'yiri lishpar tachas achuppah koy shalom." There were those that had a minhag that under the chuppah they wouldn't give you a full cup; they'd give you like already a cracked cup because they figured, "Why waste a good cup? I'll give you already a chipped cup, a broken cup." So the Mishnah Berurah, not true. This is really based on a pesachei tshuva and Shulchan Aruch that it's not a time of batashkas, because again, batashkas means wasting for no reason. There's a reason. This is doing something. The breaking of the glass is for a purpose, and therefore the minhag was not to use a regular kais. The Prima Gadim writes that yes. True for the chuppah, but for the tanoim, they would taka not use such a fancy thing. For the chuppah, for the tanoim, they would use more of a already broken or chipped type of thing, because it's not as, there's not so much behal of a simcha that takes place at the tanoim. And therefore, the minhag was to be more makom. Now, what's interesting, the minhag today is that for the under the chuppah, we break glass, and for the tanoim, we break cheres, earthenware. So what's the pshat? So there's a lot of Torah given, but the simple pshat is that glass, the Gemara says, can be fixed. So when a person gets married, he can fix it. If it doesn't work out, you fix it with a get. But tanoim, what's the pshat? You broke your word. So that's cheres. That's earthenware. You can't go back and you broke your word, you broke your word. It's not fixable. Mashenki at a wedding, you get married, it's fixable. If it didn't work out, so you can fix it with a gerushin. So that's why we use glass under the chuppah and a plate that's made out of earthenware. We use it at the tanoim. Why do the mother-in-laws do it? I'm not so sure. But al kaponim, that's the minhag today, the mother-in-laws do it. Now the Aruch HaShulchan goes a step further. The Aruch HaShulchan says that this breaking of the glass at the tanoim is the conclusion of the Tanoim. What are the Tanoim? Very quickly, today it's a joke for us, because we have Rav Moshe's Tanoim, where it's basically saying, you're at the chasana, you're going to get married. Of course you're at the chasana, you're going to get married. Well, everyone's here. I heard from Rabbi Willig once, he said he's never heard yet once of a story of a runaway bride who showed up to the chasana hall and then ran away. He's never heard such a story. So if everyone's at the hall, and now we're going to write Tanoim that we're going to go through with it, it's a joke. Of course we're going to go through it. We're all here. All the Tanoim were written a year before the chasana. There was a lot of time to go back, to renege, to back out, find a better shidduch, a better catch. So that's what they used to write Tanoim. So what were the Tanoim? The Tanoim basically said that if you go back, you got to pay a heavy, heavy knosis fines to the other side. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that this breaking of the plate is the gemiras ha-Tanoim, which means until that plate is broken, either side can back out, No one has to pay any fees. Once that plate breaks, boom. That's the end of it. And now anyone who backs out has to pay the fee. So the shviras ha-hakois at the tnaim is a halachic thing, not only just a part of the experience, it even has a halachic ramification. Right, so this is just the zman that we set up to say how long you have to back out. Once you break the plate, now it's official. You know, it's like the equivalent of a handshake, as once you break the plate. Now we have to mention over here the famous Taz. We have a lot of things to mention. We'll go very quickly. The Taz writes in Shulchan Aruch over here, Zokta Taz, Vereisi Biktsas Kihilas. I saw in some community Shamish Omer Hapasuk Hazeh. The Shamish says the pasuk in Meshkechech Yerushalayim. V'hachazin. And the chosin would repeat it mila b'mila v'nochinhu. It's the correct thing. So in the times of the Taz, what they used to happen was the chosin would say im eshkechech Yerushalayim. My gut feeling is what ended up happening was over time, it probably ended up being that the chosin didn't know the words, and it took too long for someone to tell the chosin. As it is, the whole harayat mekudesh is li. Today we have cars and we prep him. So they probably just decided this is too much, and they had someone say it. So they had someone say im eshkechech. Today now it became that someone sings it, but it's all coming from this Taz. And I got married not so long ago, so I had a family member of mine who was very not into the singing Meshkechech under the chuppah. I thought it was very beautiful, I thought it was very nice, but he was pushing me to ask. So I went to my Rebbe, who was Masada the Chasr of Kalman Epstein. I asked him what's his thoughts on singing Meshkechech. So he told me he has the same problem. At that time he was marrying off his daughter. His father, Zalig Epstein, was still alive, and his father was an Alta European, and he was very against it. He felt this is not something we do. So I said, but I wonder what Rebbe thinks about it. He told me he thinks it's beautiful. He thinks it's the right thing to do. So I was able to do it. He told me he has to figure out what he's going to do with his daughter Chasana to make his father happy. But he told me he thinks it's a beautiful thing. I think today it's becoming much more popular. I think it is a very beautiful thing. Because what ends up happening at the Chasana, we break a glass and we scream Mazel Tov. We defeated the whole purpose. The whole purpose is to stop and think and contemplate, but there's never a time for contemplation. Because you break the glass and all of a sudden the beautiful music starts. So I really think we should have it the other way around. We should break the cup and then sing a Meshkechech, and then we go right there. That's the other way around. Let me do it that way. Right, I think that makes much more sense. Yeah, it makes sense. This way you're connected to it. But at least the way we have it is something, that when they sing a Meshkechech, I think for those 2 minutes, I think most of the people in the crowd are somewhat moved if they think about the words and they understand what we're saying. I think that's the most we can be Mekayim, this Gemara over here, remembering the Beis Hamikdash. Right. They do that also. Now, Rav Soloveitchik over here had an interesting opinion. If you look very quickly, Rav Soloveitchik, number 32 in Nefesh HaRav, he thought that we all got it wrong. If you ever go to a chasana today, so when did they put the Efer Makla on the chasin? They put him before he goes down the aisle. Soloveitchik thought that's not right. He said, because he's not a chasin yet. Soloveitchik held in Nefesh HaRav number 32, he says, Rabbeinu ha-yimakbe laniach se'efer dafka la'achah, gemar brichas ha-nesun. Soloveitchik held, after they finished brichas ha-nesun, then you put the Efer. Now, it's not always so practical. You got to have someone run up and do it. Because why? Well, while he walks down the aisle, he's not a chassan. He's a nobody. He's a single guy. So if you look at the number in Penini Harav, so there's that Talmid Master Salvation. He said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? We know that he has a shame chassan when he walks down the aisle, Haraya, because everyone stands up for him. And we stand up for him because he has a shame chassan. So if he has a shame chassan, the Gabi Amida, he should have the shame chassan, the Gabi Efer Machl.
Even before that, you wouldn't say
tachnun. Right, you wouldn't say tachnun, he needs a shame roll that. So Salvation said, no, you guys all got it wrong. You don't stand up for him because he has a shame melech, or this other Torah. He says, the reason why you stand up for him is because he's on his way to do a mitzvah. It's not because he's doing melech. That's not the pshat. Why, said Salvation? Because he thinks it's not true. He's talking out, it's not a melech. So why does everyone stand up for the chasin, says Salvation? Because he's on his way to do a mitzvah. Based on the Mishnah and Bikurim. The Mishnah and Bikurim says that when they used to bring the Bikurim, everyone would stand up for those who are going to do a mitzvah. So over here, Rav Shechter adds, B'Shem B'Yakov Kamenetsky. B'Yakov Kamenetsky said, that's Pshat and the Minog, why people stand up for Vayivarech David in Pesukah de Zimra. Because it used to be, in Vayivarech David, we give tzedakah. So it used to be that the Baal tzedakah would go around collecting. So he was on his way to do a mitzvah. So everyone stood up in front of him because he's on his way to do a mitzvah. So said Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's why we stand for Vayivarech David. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't believe that the standing for the chosin had to do with the fact that he's doyim lemelech. He held he's not doyim lemelech yet, and that's why he can't put any for makli yet. So Rav Soloveitchik held the reason is because he's on his way to do a mitzvah. In the Sefer Shulchan Alevi from Rabbi Belsky Zatzal, he also tumbles with this idea of why do we stand up for a chosin. So he starts off with the classic answer because chosin doyim lemelech. He says, first of all, maybe that's true, but so why do you stand for the kala? There's no din kala doyim lemalka. There's no din to stand for a malka. Secondly, he says, one second. So if so, why don't we stand up for them the whole Shavuot brachas? And when they walk into the room 3 days later, no one moves. So only when they move down the aisle, what does that have to do with anything? So he ends up coming out like Rav Salavej, that he thinks the pshat is because they're on the way to do a mitzvah. So he says, I have the chitayim, so why do you have to stand up for the girl? We know in Kedushin, she's not doing a mitzvah. Pashtus, her level is not a mitzvah. So he says, no, but she's partaking in a mitzvah. She's a misayel mitzvah. So he thinks you have to stand up for that svar. But he concludes at the end, and he writes, L'maisa shemati shemogen Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky omat. Reb Yaakov Echasnos would stand up for the chasn and the kal. Now, I always add this. You might not have to stand up for the chasn and the kal, but you definitely have to stand up for the grandparents. These people don't know. And the chasn and the kal, everyone jumps up. I'd rather think most people stand up because they want to see the chasn and the kal. Not, they want to see the outfit, the looking, the smiling, the crying. They don't really care so much for the halach. But everyone stands up for the chasn and the kal, but the grandparents or older kingdom that are walking down, everyone sits for them. That's incorrect. But he quotes that, Rav Moshe, loy omad, Rav Moshe Taka wouldn't stand up under a chasn. So next time you go to a chasn, you have to ask yourself, do you want to be like Rabbi Yaakov side or want to be Rav Moshe side? But he concludes at the end, Vim kein yesh l'cholecha al milas smoich, el shuzman shak, kol ha-kol ha-imdim, if the whole place gets up, then aim liyachal hamshach l'sheves. It's not right for you to stay sitting. Why? Ki yesh kan inyan kaver ha-tzibur. If the whole place gets up, you should do like them. If the whole place sits, you do like them. That was Rabbi Belsky's opinion. Okay? Don't be with me at a chuppah, because I don't always keep this part of the deal. But okay. Akabon, that's where Rabbi Belsky held. Now, just another fascinating piece, we'll end off with this from Rav Salavechik, that he tells over a story of Shechta quotes over here in Panini Harav, where there was a bacher who was getting married, and Rav Salavechik wasn't able to attend the chasana. So he asked Rav Salavechik, so what do I need to know? Give me some big yesoid before the chasana, I need to know for the chasana. Salavechik told him one yesoid, that you have to keep your hat on, not only for the chuppah, but for all of the dancing. Why? Time Rav Salavechik, because you have a shame melech. After the, you're a melech. So what's a melech to go without a hat? There's a bezoid. So Salavechik told him, one piece of information I'm giving over to you is that not only do you have to wear a hat for the chuppah, you have to wear a hat for all the dancing, because you have a shema melech, and it's also to be bezoyin of a melech. That was Salavechik's opinion. Today in the chasanas, I think in all circles today, they take the hat off, it gets in the way, it falls, it gets sweaty. But if Salavechik held that's not correct, he held a melech, has to look like a melech even during the dancing.